News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Soundbites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday. What, you've never heard that opening before? Tony's over there giving me
He's shaking his head.
The fisheye. It is Saturday, the 26th of July, Anno Domini 2003, and we are here for another hour and a half-ish of the world's greatest, best-known, most loved, and
longest-running,
and certainly weirdest computer show, Soundbites.
No,
I'm Nick Francesco.
What?
Unique. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Tony Plasso.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And yes, you heard a new voice today, or a lesser heard voice.
Yes.
And we're delighted and thrilled to invite Tony Plasso to join us on the show today.
Thank you.
He knows more about Linux than is really healthy for any human being. You know, if we had one more person here, we could start. I've been toying with the idea of a new TV show.
Yeah.
This sounds dangerous already.
Yeah.
Geek Eye for the Clueless Guy.
Cool.
5 geeks.
Thank you. I'll see you next month.
5 geeks take a complete computer novice. By the end of the show, he's syncing his PDA, running Linux on his laptop. What do you think?
Got possibility.
Okay, too hip for this audience. Okay. We're going to go to the news now, and I think we'll start with Steve because we're delighted that he's actually here because he was supposed to be... apparently, one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Midwest.
Well,
but
tomorrow is my 8th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations!
My condolences
Shirley
to your wife.
Is a saint.
Yes,
she is.
And we had planned a little trip, and of course, the babysitter fell through.
Of course she did!
Which is our 19-year-old daughter.
They have a habit of doing that.
Yeah,
you know?
So we're here today.
And thrilled to be here, I can tell. I can tell that.
Mm-hmm. And in the computing world, we're having an interesting controversy with the iTunes Music Store. It currently only works in the U.S., which was one of the things they announced in the beginning time. But it also now is looking like, and if you read the detailed terms of sale that no one ever does, if you try to use it outside the U.S., the music you may have already purchased will stop working. Quoting from the terms of sale, purchases from the iTunes Music Store are only available in the United States and are not available in other locations. You agree not to use or attempt to use the service from outside the available territory. Apple may use technologies to verify such compliance. Now, the real issue is that the RIAA,
Recording Industry Association of America,
otherwise known as mouth-breathing bottom feeders.
Yeah, the people who are, it's not that they aren't making money. They aren't making enough money.
Yeah, they, along with the music distribution services, are currently only licensing Apple to use to distribute this music in the U.S. And Apple has said they are working on other countries, being able to negotiate with the lawyers. And the problem is that each country has some of their own laws, and there is no global organization they can talk to. And even the record companies themselves, the big five record companies, have divisions in other countries, each with their own slightly different rules depending on the copyrights in that country. So it's a big issue to come out with a global music service. And right now the problem is that if you travel with your Mac and you leave the United States, it's you can't get in.
Right.
And
but it's worse than that. If somebody believed at one point that his music was actively being removed from his iPod.
Interesting. I hadn't heard that one.
As it, apparently, it's not removed, just disabled while he's out of the country. If you read the, I actually highlighted the relevant first paragraph there. The last sentence That is,
yeah,
that
Apple
is,
may use technologies to verify compliance. So it's basically you log into the iTunes Music Store. They know what IP you're coming from.
Right.
They can check where that IP is in the world because they're all
exactly
registered somewhere. And if you're outside the United States, they can disable your music.
And apparently they did to this guy. He then wrote a scathing thing on a website, which started a million people getting angry, and apparently somebody at Apple apologized to him and is now working with him to fix that.
And he only moved to Canada.
And he only moved to Canada, you know, which is a foreign country. I don't know if you knew that. They actually are a foreign country. So apparently that's a problem, and Apple is working diligently to help him fix that.
And it's legal copyright issues. And on the other side, on the Windows side of the coin, the online shopping site, buy.com.
B-U-Y.com.
Yeah, B-U-Y.com. Started a music service for Windows, buymusic.com. And it's a little more confusing than iTunes Music Store, which is 99 cents per song, you know, pretty much period.
You're done there, right?
You're done there, right. on buymusic.com, the values range from 79 cents a song to $1.29 a song. Albums also vary in prices. Some songs you cannot download, you can only stream. But the real aggravating thing is they actively prevent Macintosh users from getting to it. You go to the site, and this big screen pops up, says you must be using Windows, and you must be using Internet Explorer. So even if you're on Windows and you don't use IE, it can't work.
What marketing brainiac said, you know what, let's take a whole segment of the population
and kick them off.
And just send them away, lock the doors on them. Nice. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Tony Placilla, Rob Linton, and Mina Francesco on the greatest computer show ever, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
You're out there, and you know who you are. Oh, you think you can hide. But you can't hide forever. One of these days, you'll break down, and then you'll see. It's not so bad. Then, like the rest of us, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. If you don't own a home computer, I'm talking to you. And I'm talking to you about the fantastic home computer package from Green Shield Computers. For only $499, they'll build you the perfect starter system, fully loaded with all you need for email, web surfing, home finances, digital pictures, music, movies, and more. It's powered by an AMD Athlon processor and is easily upgradable. Plus, you get Green Shield's local service and support. With Green Shield, there's no excuse. Don't miss out on the fun, the convenience, the connections a home computer can provide. Give Green Shield a call and get started with your home computer. For you, for your kids, for your life. Green Shield Computers, since 1984. Call 544-9580.
Hi friends, I'm Joe Neary from Joseph Neary Chevrolet Oldsmobile Pontiac. If you're thinking about a new vehicle, now's the time, and Joseph Neary is the place. With finance rates at 0% and rebates up to $7,000, you can't wait. This is a perfect time to lower your car payments and drive a higher-priced vehicle. Own a new Cavalier for only $10,364, including all taxes and fees, or only $150 a month with zero down. Wow! Every 2003 on our lot must go now. Call 800-767-8080. That's 800-767-8080. Let's recap. Lowest rates ever, plus highest rebates ever, equals a win-win for you. Call 800-767-8080. Joseph Neary Chevrolet Oldsmobile Pontiac is located just 9 miles east of Webster on the new 104 Expressway.
Joseph Neary Chevrolet Oldsmobile Pontiac.
And remember, eggs are cheaper in the country, and so are the cars.
We're ready in advance.
Race fans, get ready to win a trip in advance. It's the Advance to the Winner's Circle Sweepstakes from Advance Auto Parts and Martinsville Speedway, where you could win a fantastic NASCAR racing trip. So buckle up and zip into any Advance Auto Parts to enter today.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. In 73103. Must be 21 to enter with valid driver's license or enter online at advanceautoparts.com.
For the best part, people at Christ, we're ready.
Yeah, bring it on.
Soundbites, America's longest running computer radio show, is brought to you by the Alleman K Learning Center, MicroWorks Direct Computers, Roadrunner Business Class, and Green Shield Computer Services. Rather do their show in a chat room. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Tony Pusilla.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites. Back to the news, and I think we're going to go to Steve.
I did mine.
Okay, then I think we're going to go to Dave.
You sure?
No.
It didn't sound like it.
I'm just...
You're having a rough day today.
Yeah, I've been having a rough day.
It's only started off when you wanted a shirt.
I wanted a shirt. It's a great shirt. We'll talk about the shirt in a minute. Go ahead.
Anyways, well, they finally cracked down on two of those guys that are doing the Nigerian email. You've heard us talk about it for a while, folks, about the scam that, oh, you could get $20 million, you know, and you just got to send us some money to help postage and handling and all that. And it's like, wait a minute. Anytime you're going to get money and you got to spend money, that should definitely send some major lights off and let you be aware of it. Well, they did wind up nailing a 36-year-old and a 43-year-old charged with conspiring to commit wire fraud. And 18 counts of wire fraud are now in jail. They could stand to do 20 years per charge. So, you know, they're going to spend some long hours probably trying to do their emailing and scams.
Assuming they're allowed to use email from inside the prison.
But, I mean, this scam has been going on for quite a while, and it's finally, you know, like I say, they catch these two guys, though, and nine others turn around and do the same scam. So, I mean, they shut one down and six other pop up because they see, oh, they'll find some victims that, oh, well, this is a good one. You know, individuals that don't have a clue, and they fall victim to it. It's just like some of these other scams, you know.
Right.
I'm just checking out the bank, and, you know, I need you to pull out $2,000 and give it to me so I can mark the bills. And, I mean, it's just another scam on folks.
I was actually talking with a customer of mine last night. He runs a shopping site, if you want to buy or sell a piano, pianomart.com.
Thank you.
Apparently the Nigerian scam people called through his shopping site, gathering email addresses, and are emailing everyone selling pianos on his site. I want to buy your piano, and they send the cashier's check for more than the value of the piano to cover shipping and whatnot. And one of the guys that he knows got the cashier's check, went to his bank and said, you know, can you make sure this is valid or legal or not, or valid or real, something like that. And the bank teller apparently knew it wasn't, called the police. The guy was arrested for fraud for trying to cash a bogus check. Even though he didn't endorse it, he just asked if it was legitimate or not. And apparently he spent a couple of days in jail. And the police are contacting our customer, you know, asking him about this. You know, did you know this guy is trying to scam your piano? No, it's not him. It's somebody else trying to get him.
Right.
So you know, be really careful.
Yeah. Be very careful.
So somebody, you know, another innocent has been duped and actually spent time in jail.
Well, it's because nobody listened to him. If he went there and said, can you tell me if this is a legitimate check?
Right. And he didn't sign it. He didn't endorse it. He didn't have a deposit slip or anything.
Yeah. Some people get a little overexcited, I guess.
Yeah.
Tony?
Our friends Gartner, who bought them this week?
I don't know.
I don't know. Somebody gave them money to say what they wanted to be said.
Whoever got something good said about them.
Yeah, Gartner.
We all know that Gartner sells their opinion.
They are the prostitutes in the business world, yes. Companies should delay the adoption of Linux until the legal issues raised by the SCO case are resolved. As those of you who don't know, SCO claims that, A, they own Unix. There's the copyright to it, the original AT&T source. They also claim that, B, there's not a single possible way that any of the technological innovations in Linux could have been in there without somebody else stealing SCO source code. And Gartner says because of this legal wrangle, you better hold off on it. Use proprietary software. And, oh, by the way, SCO is suing IBM. Next,
we know how Tony feels about that.
Yeah, we'll see. The other thing that really has got my knickers in a knot this week is Bill has said two things. Number one, 5% of all Windows installations crash at least two times a day.
A day, ladies and gentlemen.
5% of them. Nick, you're a professional in this business.
Yeah.
So am I. What would we be doing if our installations, 5% of them, crashed twice a day?
We would be replacing
unemployed
them
actors.
With... Exactly. We'd be unemployed actors.
Okay.
It's the truth.
Oh, God. Honestly and truthfully, you know, this is not braggadociousness. I have not had a system crash that is due to anything other than an act of God in over 5 years.
Hardware.
Hardware.
Right.
Right. a processor, the magic smoke went away.
Right. Exactly.
And Bill's default installation is 5%. And, oh, by the way, he's planning on charging for updates now.
Yes, that was all in his speech on Thursday. Yeah. He gave a speech on Thursday.
And this is not an opinion. This is in the New York Times, pre-registration, you know, yada, yada, yada. It's there.
It's there. What's interesting about that is 5% of Windows installations need to be rebooted at least twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say anything about how many need to be rebooted once a day,
once a week,
even once a month. I haven't rebooted my Linux box except when I downloaded an update to the kernel in 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I got Windows 2000 Server, and I haven't rebooted that.
You don't do anything with it.
Yeah,
it's not your desktop.
Right.
It's not a production system.
But
I mean,
even my other XP boxes, I got to admit, have, you know, now Windows 98, 95, any of those, yeah, it's just a fact of life. But anything XP...
From Dave and I's perspective in the repair business, we want Windows to crash a lot.
That's right. If it wasn't for Windows,
yeah.
And see, from my perspective, you know, the box crashes. The boss says, "Where's my email? I can't get my Nigerian scam letters. What's going on?" You know.
It's so true.
I won't mention any names, but we've had clients put in service calls because their porn stopped working.
Oh, I am so sorry to hear that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, as we said, that's the only way to make money on the internet.
Well, I had one client call me and said, "Try to schedule an emergency service call."
Uh huh.
Triple rate, you know, when they say
that.
Yeah,
and it's like, wait a minute, you know, because their sound stopped, so they couldn't hear. I got mail.
Yeah.
And I said,
you know,
wait
what?
A minute.
It was probably they had
to
pay for it.
I had a part of appointment, and it's like, wait a minute. All right, now you realize it would be what. No, you just got to come up. No, here's what it's going to be. I says, what is the problem? Well, I can't hear. Through my speakers, I got mail anymore. My sound's gone. I says, that is not an emergency.
Right.
If it is an emergency, this is one of those ones you charge time and a half plus triple time plus what the traffic will bear.
And
plus
stupidity charge.
Stupidity
when somebody
charge
runs into my office and says, we have an emergency, my first question is there blood?
Yeah.
Because if there's no blood, it's not an emergency.
That's right.
So even smoke is not an emergency. Right. Blood.
Flames
people,
might be an emergency.
Flames would be an emergency. Blood is an emergency. That's it.
There could be fire, though, and I'd want to get my butt real.
Yeah.
And I like to, you know, my problem? Not my problem. Okay, where does
right.
it fly?
Right. We have a poll every week on our site, and this week's poll goes for a specific new news item. Backing up your data. There is a company called TransOrbital in La Jolla, California. Where else? They are getting ready to provide data backup on the moon.
Cool.
On the moon. They're getting ready to send a commercial mission to the moon. They intend to send servers, data, handheld computers, and digital cameras along for the ride. Their plan is to set up a site on the moon that's going to be able, via some sort of microwave or laser hookup, to back up your data to the moon.
The moon is a 3-second light delay. That's going to screw up everything.
You know, man,
it's not live data. It's just backup.
But my ping time's the Unreal Tournament.
I know, none of this 100 nanoseconds. It's going to be 3 seconds away.
That's what backup servers are for. They back up once a day. Every time else they run Unreal Tournament server.
Right. So here's the deal. If you really care that, you know, if all of Earth got turned into a sheet of nuclear glass, your dad would still be there. Look up TransOrbital of La Jolla, California. In the meantime, we're going to take a quick break and then on to the telephone calls on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
This is the house that Jack built.
Daddy, faster!
The tree house. These are the 12 planks of wood Jack carried. The 200 nails he hammered. The broken ladder he climbed. And this is the back pain and the neck pain Jack had until he tried Thermacare. 8 hours of penetrating heat for powerful pain relief and deep muscle relaxation. Cause after he built the house...
What about the curtains?
Jack had to decorate. Pick up a Thermacare and wrap yourself in relief.
Some anniversaries you celebrate with silver, and this one you celebrate with leather. Announcing the Lincoln Mercury Anniversary Clearance Event, featuring end of the model year savings on every Lincoln and Mercury, including the luxurious 2003 Mercury Grand Marquis, Available with no-charge leather seating surfaces on LS Premium and Ultimate models. The only standard V8 in its class. The roomiest interior and largest trunk in its full-size class. And right now, you can get the 2003 Mercury Grand Marquis with 0% APR financing for 60 months or up to $4,000 cash back, including $500 in loyalty cash for eligible Lincoln or Mercury owners with proof of ownership. And be sure to ask about special AARP savings. Amount financed is $1,667 per month per 1,000 financed regardless of down payment. Not all buyers will qualify for Ford Credit financing. Offer subject to change. See dealer for details. Take delivery from dealer stock by 9/2/2003. This is one anniversary you won't want to miss. Stop by your Lincoln Mercury dealer today.
Back in 1824, the Ridge Road corridor out Albion Way saw its share of weary travelers, adventurers, and stagecoaches heading to and from their destinations looking for a good hearty meal among friends and family. And they found it at Tillman's Village Inn in Albion. Now, 179 years later, the corner of Routes 104 and 98 in Albion is still the destination for travelers, adventurers, and hungry families throughout Western New York. A short drive from the city will give you an historic adventure with a cobblestone museum, the Ridge Road Station store, farm market, gift shops, and of course, the undeniable charm of Tillman's Village Inn. It's worth the drive from the city, not only for the reasonable prices, but for the award-winning cuisine, like Tillman's house specialty, prime rib, served by four generations of Tillman's family with old-fashioned care. Tillman's Historic Village Inn. Take Route 104 to the corner of Route 98 in Albion. Call 589-9151 for reservations.
America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180, WHAM. Got a computer question? Call the boys at 222-1180. The Choice One toll free line at 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco.
Yes, yes, he's right. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Tony Plasilla.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we're going to go to the phones in just a minute. Time me. But before we do that, two very quick things. First, our weekly poll. First, our weekly trivia question. Our fabulous prize this week is two free tickets to any Regal Cinema Theater for any show. All you have to do is answer the trivia question correctly and then pick up your tickets here at the Wham Studios between 9 and 5 any day of the week. The trivia question, why is the Xanadu Project important to the Internet? Why is the Xanadu Project important to the Internet? You're going to take up part of my 60 seconds.
Yes, but to do a qualifier on that ticket, you can't have won in the last 30 days.
You can't have won in the last 30 days. And the second thing is, for all you geeks, you should be delighted to know that researchers at a Milan, Italy pharmacology center found that eating one or more pizzas a week dramatically reduces the incidence of some type of cancer.
Yay!
And now on to the phones. Our first caller is John, all the way from Ontario. Canada or New York, John?
New York.
No, Ontario, no, New York. Okie doke.
Anyway... I have a real problem with my system. I tried to wake it up from sleep mode this morning and got no response when I jiggled a mouse or pressed on a key.
Yeah. Maybe it's got a hangover.
Huh?
Maybe it's got a hangover.
I think that's entirely possible. But anyway, when I the screen is off, the monitor is in sleep mode just blinking at me, and the fan is running on the system. And when I do a hard shutdown on it, you know, by pushing the on-off button, and turn it back on again, mm-hmm. It comes right back into sleep mode, and you can't hear it looking for drives.
Is
or
this
going
a Compaq or an HP?
No, it's a Tiger system, actually.
Is okay. It a desktop or a laptop?
It's a desktop. It's a tower system.
We've had a lot of problems with sleep this month. I think the bottom line is going to be, don't put your computer to sleep.
Yeah, I usually turn most of that stuff off because, you know, if I'm going to be using it, I'm going to use it. If I walk away, I turn the monitor off manually.
They have such a hard time waking up.
Yeah.
Yeah. The real problem is that desktops are not supposed to go into sleep mode.
Yes.
And although the BIOS lets you do it, most of the components don't understand it.
And same within Windows, too, the energy saving.
Right. So now the question is, how do we get it out of sleep mode for
right.
you? If this were a laptop, I would suggest you push and hold turn it off, and then push and hold the power button in for 7 to 10 seconds.
Or one other thing you might want to do is, like Nick said, turn it off.
But I don't know that that'll work in a desktop.
What I've found is you turn it off and then literally unplug it from the wall and let it set for about 5 minutes. That sort of, you know, clears everything out. It kind of drains the capacitors.
Right, because although you've turned it off, it's not disconnected from the power.
Right, it's still getting charged from the power.
We've seen sometimes where that doesn't work, you got to pull the battery and wait 10 minutes.
Right.
So at least unplug it from the wall for at least 5 minutes. Bring it back up. Go into the BIOS and within Windows. And in the control panel within Windows, and shut down any energy saving.
Okay.
From both sections.
Okay. Well, I'll try unplugging it, see if it works.
Okay, let us know.
If that doesn't work, remember, pull the BIOS battery, clear the BIOS back to defaults.
Right.
That should eliminate it.
Right.
Okay.
Thanks. Our next caller, Eric from Gates. Welcome, Eric. What's your question?
Yes, I got Windows 2000, and when I do shutdown, it saves all the settings, and then it brings up the blue screen of death. It says driver power state failure, and it begins the dump of physical memory. Don't know why.
Driver power state failure?
Driver underscore power underscore state underscore failure. It's got stop, colon, and then a bunch of hex numbers.
It
says a core dump.
Hmm. Well, that's common in the NT-based
Have
Windows.
You done any testing on your hard drive?
It is kind of full.
Yeah, but what I mean is integrity of the data, whether there's any bad sectors.
Oh, like defragmentation?
No, scan disk, not defrag.
Yeah, scan disk.
I think it's fairly okay, but how many bad sectors or so forth does it need to, you know, cause problems like that?
One.
All it takes is one.
One in the wrong spot.
Yeah. Almost all. I think this is the same problem our first caller had.
Mm-hmm.
You've turned on the power management in the BIOS.
I think so.
Windows 2000 doesn't get it.
Windows 2000 being a server-based operating system is not designed to have any power-saving features on it.
Okay.
Right. It's a server. It's supposed to run 24/7 at full power.
Okay.
Turning on the ACPI stuff, the power, advanced configuration power interface stuff, just confuses it. So particularly if, again, it's a desktop machine, most of which are not 100% ACPI compliant.
Yeah, it takes forever and a day to load up, though. So
I understand that. The reality is it's a server operating system. It's supposed to run 24/7.
Okay.
It doesn't care that it takes a long time to restart because it's supposed to theoretically only do that a few times a year. And it's never supposed to go into a power saving state, so it just doesn't deal with it right.
Yeah, and like Dave said, if you're concerned about saving power, you're going to have to compromise here. Let the operating system and the CPU run. Push the magic button on the monitor. That's where most of your power is used. So half is better than none.
What's a good operating system that handles the API well?
Any of the consumer-based Windows operating systems. But then again, you're getting into anything that's not based on the NT kernel, 98.
XP
is better at it. XP Home is fine. Not great, but fine. Again, you're running into the problem of the hardware. If all of your hardware is not 100% ACPI compliant, you're going to have this problem no matter what operating system
you use. And that's basically any hardware that's more than about a year old, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Most hardware that's designed for a desktop is not designed to be ACPI compliant fully because they don't expect you to do anything with it.
What I always like to say, because that's the common thing, well, I don't want to turn my computer off because it takes so long to start up again. Well, push the power button, then get your cup of coffee.
Right.
By the time you're done, it'll probably be ready.
Right. But Windows XP Home Edition or Server or Professional, whichever you feel you need, is fine, and it is much better at the ACPI settings. But again, it also depends entirely on how good your hardware is.
The best bet is just turn all the power off on the BIOS and the operating system.
Yes. Yeah. Turn all that ACPI stuff off.
If you're going to,
and then
with
just leave the machine on 24/7. Turn off the monitor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a compromise, yes, but it's an acceptable one.
Okay. Okay.
Okie doke.
Great.
You know, God bless both of these guys for wanting to conserve energy. I love that idea. Mm-hmm. The reality is most computers aren't designed for it. And eventually you're going to get to the point where it screws up badly enough that you don't have a working system anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you're rolling the dice now every day.
Exactly.
Is what's really going on. Our next caller is Kurt from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Kurt. What's your question?
Great show.
Thank you.
Trivia question. Xanadu does shared hosting and domain registration.
That's a very good guess, but it's not the correct answer, not the thing we're looking for the Internet, but thank you.
Okay.
Do you have a question for us?
Yes.
Excellent.
My computer plays hide and seek with me. My D drive disappeared from my directory.
Does it come back and disappear again?
No,
completely?
It was on all the time, and then suddenly it disappeared.
What OS?
What?
What operating system?
Windows 98, and it's a laptop.
Is the D drive a second physical drive or a partition on your main drive?
A second physical drive.
Well, first thing to check is the cabling.
Yeah.
Well, make sure the
data. Well, probably a plug-in.
No, it's a plug-in. You know, mm-hmm. it is.
Oh, an edge connector kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a laptop.
Inside on the BIOS are, because that would be on a different IDE channel. Most likely.
Well, the first thing I would do is to shut the machine down completely, pull that drive out and make sure the contacts are clean, then push it in to make sure you've got a good seat.
Make sure pins aren't bent, too.
Make sure the pins aren't bent if it's got pins.
Shine a flashlight into the socket and see if any of the pins on the inside are bent.
Yeah, on the hard drive itself, because as it goes in, it seeps.
If you bent
one of those pins...
I called up... Dell, and they asked me to do some settings, mm-hmm. and then it temporarily appeared. Next time I booted up, it disappeared again, and I'm not sure what I did on their instruction. So I don't think it is that. Contact.
So it's got to be something, maybe a device that's being loaded, or you know, a command in the config file or auto exec.
Yeah, or it may even be the drive failing.
Yeah,
would be a bad thing.
Hold on, Kurt.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Can you hold on? We have to take a quick break.
Yes.
We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Stay on the line. We'll come back to your problem in a minute. This is Soundbites. Back in just a couple of minutes.
Park Avenue is bustling with activity again. Good restaurants, unique shops, and of course Thelma's Mastectomy Boutique. We want to invite you to come and see all the new things we have here at Thelma's. Lots of pretty bras, a large selection of swimwear and cover-ups, and the new Tresia Light breast form, and the Tria Light attachable prosthesis by Amona. You can even wear this one when you're swimming. We have post-mastectomy camisoles and also lymphedema sleeves, which are important to wear when gardening or flying on your vacation or getaway. Our fitters Sandy, Kathy, Nancy, and Carol are certified and happy to help you with any concern or question you may have. We do alterations for a perfect fit and put pockets in your existing swimwear or other garments. So stop at Thelma's at 251 Park Avenue and let us help you get ready for any occasion. From May 1st through August 30th, we'll be open Thursday evenings until 8 p.m. and closed Saturdays. Please call us for our summer schedule at 256-2460. That's 256-2460, Thelma's.
Sound Bites, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
Meg, what on earth is that?
Oh, no, that's Bill. He's scratching his itchy skin again.
Scratching his skin?
It's not that crazy. Scratching and itch can tear up your skin like a jackhammer, even lead to infection. That's why you need Maximum Strength Lanacane Cream. Just listen. Maximum Strength Lanacane stops the itch, saves your skin from scratching, even helps save it from infection. all with its combination of maximum strength itch medicine plus antibacterial to help kill germs. And lanacane makes skin feel healthy with soothing vitamins A, E, and D.
Ah.
Feel better, Bill?
Sure do. Thanks, hon.
Maximum strength lanacane stops the itch, saves your skin. Use only as directed.
All right, we're back. I'm Nick Francesco with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Tony Placilla, Rob Linton, and Kurt's on the line. We have a question for you, Kurt. Tony?
Nick, just one more piece of information. When I called up Dell, one of the things which we did is we went into the BIOS, and I think three drives were listed there, and we put the D drive in the top position. I'm not quite sure whether that fixed it, but that was one of the things which we did.
Okay.
Okay. One of the questions I had, Kurt, is this when you is this a removable hard drive where you can pull the hard drive out and say put in a CD-ROM drive or a DVD drive?
You can put it out. And for instance, I put my zip drive in there. But
okay, good. That's the idea.
And does the zip drive work?
No, it doesn't see the zip. You see, it doesn't see the zip drive either.
Then here's where the problem lies. It's not in the drive or in anything else except that connector that's inside the laptop. That's where the problem is.
Because if you've got two devices going, it's kind of odd that...
Right,
you know,
that both don't work, that it's that connector where they hook up.
And is the machine still under warranty?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Unfortunately, this is an actual hardware fix. And so I'm afraid that either Dell or one of their qualified technical places is going to have to take a look at it and see what it would cost to fix it.
Kurt. But I don't think it's a hardware fix because... And I called him up yesterday. It temporarily
It's a hit and miss. It's going to be one of these sporadic things, depending on whether you wiggle it just right, that you'll get it to work. But it's internal. And that's why sometimes it will work, sometimes it won't. It's going to be a hit and miss. And it's got to be something that's got to be sent back to either the manufacturer or a qualified repair shop.
Yeah. I'm sorry, we have to take a break. Before was a little emergency that... we had, but now is a real break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Tony Placilla, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
This portion of Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM is brought to you in part by Envision, delivering the bandwidth to make anything possible. To sign up for Envision Internet Service, call 262-2485.
Leader, 50,000 watt 1180 WHAM Rochester, a clear channel radio station.
News.
Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Tony Placilla.
And I'm Rob Linson, trying to keep the chaos under control in the studio today.
It is so sad that you folks can't catch what goes on during
the
break.
Of course.
It's a better show in the break than it is during the show itself. Don't forget, we have a trivia question this week. What is the Xanadu Project, and why is it important to the Internet? I'm talking about the real Xanadu...
Not the rock group.
...project, not the rock group.
Or the worst movie ever made.
Not the worst movie ever made.
No, that was Zardoz.
Zardoz.
Sean Connery.
Even though it had Sean Connery in it, Zardoz was pretty doggone pathetically,
Ishtar.
Horrifyingly bad.
Ishtar.
Ishtar! Maybe there's the winner right there, although none of them can touch Plan 9 from Outer Space, which I have on DVD. Before we go back to the phones, I should note that there was a breakthrough in the Windows password cracking world today. Cracks can now be made to Windows passwords in an average of 13.6 seconds.
cool.
Down from a normal average of 1:41, so it's not that big a difference. Mm-hmm. But it's nice to know that in under 14 seconds, I can own your machine.
Oh, two other pieces of information, too. DirectX in Windows Media through Windows Media Player, embedded in MP3s. All your computer will belong to me, mm-hmm. again. And Outlook Express, Outlook, any version earlier than 6.1 left elbow, what the hell it is now, doesn't properly render MIME headers. So if the MIME header in an email says text plain, it's supposed to be displayed as text plain. Well, you can embed HTML in it, and, oh, by the way, run malicious programs in Outlook.
Because
HTML
is plain text.
Yeah, but it won't display it as plain text. It'll interpret it, JavaScript and Acrobat.
There is a registry hack you can put in that's often works. Okay.
You can. I'm not.
Yeah. Before we go back to the phone, I'm going to talk a little bit about what goes on our website every week. We have a poll. Last week's poll, do you use MSN Instant Messenger? This has to do with the fact that if you download, install, and register the new version of MSN Instant Messenger once a week, every Friday between, I think it's 9 a.m. and 7 p.m., Microsoft's going to find somebody to give $1,000 to who's actually online on the Instant Messenger. So the question was, do you use MSN Instant Messenger? Apparently a lot of people are interested in this because 86% of you, or 291 votes, said not today, not likely. 8% of you said, oh, heck yes, and 5% said, huh? For a total of 337 votes, making this number 15 on the hit parade of polls. Thank you for all 337 of you who voted. This week's poll has to do with our story about backing up data on the moon. While the moon is not one of the choices because it isn't available yet, the question is, where do you back up your data? The choices are another computer, a CD, DVD, etc., that sort of affair. Tape, floppies, a zip or an orb, one of those things. Other, we don't need no stinking backups. And for those of you who aren't backing up like you're supposed to, so far DVD, CD is winning, followed by another computer, that's me. Other, tape, floppies, zip, orb, we don't need no stinking backups. And in fact, three of you went for a total of 77 votes so far. Get online. Once you're there, you can then click on the link to leave your opinion. That takes you to my website, AskNick.com. That's AskNick.com, where in addition to all kinds of answers to all kinds of computer questions, you can also leave a brief, that would be fewer than 256 characters, opinion on the current Soundbites topic. So far we have 10 of them, some of which actually deal with the question, which is an unusual thing for us. So get on the site and vote early, vote often. I personally use rsync.
I use a tape, 2040 gig DAT.
Yep.
And it just works.
I use a program called rsync, which will sync up two directories on different computers. There's a free version of that for Windows called PSCP from the guy who wrote PuTTY, Simon Tatham.
Brilliant man.
And on Windows, it's called rsync, and you just run it, and it syncs the directories one way, both ways, whatever you want. And it takes seconds, and you're done. It's a very cool thing. So please join us on the site and vote when you're there. Please feel free to join us in the forums where most of the fun of Soundbite happens quite regularly. We also have some other interesting things. Dave's basic PC configuration, for those of you looking to put together a PC, solves most of the mysteries about a computer except where to get the cash. Dave's tips every week. Dave puts up a brand new tip. There's the Soundbites calendar where you can find out what's going on in your area. Moody Blues 100 and Mars Guy 33 are numbered people. Bring us some secretly recorded calls, things that they actually took right off the air for this show. We may play those one of these fine first days. We've got some now on a mini disc, so we might do that. We have movie posters. We have logos. Of course, since you're now listening to the show live, those of you who are listening to the show live, you can check out the webcam. We have a show cam available online, plus a whole bunch of other nifty stuff. So check out our website. It's soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like me to remind you. And now it's back to the phones, and Cal waiting patiently in East Rochester, New York. Welcome, Cal. What's your question?
Hey, guys, I got a guess at the trivia first.
Excellent.
Open up all the URLs.
open up.
What, in other words, more domain names available?
Oh, yeah, no, good guess, but no, that's not it. Nice try.
There's a command in Windows 98 SE to allow you to go back to a previous hardware state that was good, and I can't remember what it is.
Yes, it is.
Hose my computer, and I can't remember. I can't get online to look it up because my computer's hosed.
What you got
to
do is you got to boot.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
What you do is you boot up to a C prompt.
Right, I'm there already.
All right, you type scan reg, all one word.
Don't hit enter yet.
Space, okay. /restore.
Scan reg, space, /restore.
Yep, that'll bring up a menu, and it'll show you the last three or four times, dates that it's known good registry, and you can select one of them, and it'll put it back.
Very cool.
And hopefully the machine will work again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it. Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Have a good day.
You too. Have fun.
We fixed one?
Apparently, well, we don't know that yet. He hasn't actually done it. The good news for us is we tell them what to do. They get off the phone. If it doesn't work, they probably can't get back in to tell us they couldn't fix it. So we win no matter what happens. Remember, we're tech support. Our job is to get them off the phone. All right, our next caller is Ed from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Ed. How can we get you off the phone?
Yeah, I'm running Windows XP Home Edition on a compact desktop that's about a year and a half old.
Mm-hmm.
From a hard stop, I start the machine, and on the screen I get a message: 1720 smart hard drive detects imminent failure.
Ooh.
Hard drive is detecting an imminent failure to ensure no data loss, back up the contents and replace this hard disk.
Believe it.
Mm-hmm. But then it gives me an option to hit F1 or go into the BIOS. I hit F1 and it boots up fine.
Yeah, but notice the words imminent failure.
Yeah.
So the smart technology is designed to detect early a problem with the hard drive.
It's an early warning sign.
No kidding.
And yep. it actually works.
And it actually mm-hmm. works. If it tells you there's an imminent failure, back up now, buy a new hard drive.
Are you kidding?
No.
Wow.
Why would I lie about that?
No,
I don't sell hard drives. I don't sell backup software. I wouldn't lie to you about this because I don't care.
I thought hard drives last forever.
hard drives are the single biggest failure point in computers.
Like we reported last week, 2% of the hard drives out there are going to fail.
This year. Your personal hard drive has anywhere between 0.5% and 2% chance of failing at any given moment. That may not sound like a lot, but those are the house odds in blackjack, and we know how often the house wins blackjack.
And that means catastrophic failure.
Yeah, failure like dad dying, imminent failure.
I had a friend.
Not losing bits and bytes here.
No, dad, you need a hard drive now. Turn your machine off. Go buy a new hard drive, back up all your data now while it's running.
Yeah, I did that already.
Go out and buy a new hard drive. Yeah. If your best bet at this point, if it's off warranty, take it to one of our fine dealers like, NYPC Management, Jesse Group, Green Shield, and have them put in a new hard drive. They can copy all your data over from the old hard drive.
And if you're interested, SMART is actually an acronym for Self-Monitoring Analysis and Reporting Technology.
Thank you.
Just for a quick one, I had a client that just had to send a hard drive off to get some small data recovered from it. Mm-hmm. And he was very selective on the directories. $800. And all the data fit on one CD. That's only
they go into a clean room in spacesuits, take the thing apart, and see
get it done today. Today, Ed. Yep. That would be, yes, now. That's right now.
Why are you still talking to us?
Get off the phone. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Tony Placilla, Rob Linton, and Mina Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Do you suffer from sore feet, back, knee, or hip pain? If so, the Good Feet Store can help. Hi, I'm Bridget, owner of the Good Feet Store of Rochester. With over 200 locations nationwide, Good Feet has helped millions of people find relief. Every day, customers talk of their new life because of our arch supports, orthotics, cushions, and shoes.
When I went to the doctor and got diagnosed with plantar fasciitis, he told me that I could only wear sneakers. So there went all my summer collection of shoes and all my dress shoes I couldn't wear. It was just too painful, too much foot pain every day. I wanted to take off my shoes as soon as I got home every day. He said, don't walk around the house without your shoes on. So that just caused major strife, also caused a lot of back pain. But as soon as I got my arch supports from the Goodfeet store, I have no foot pain whatsoever, and I can wear any dress shoe that I want.
If you're having these kinds of problems, call the Goodfeet store at 424-4030. Goodfeet is located at 300 Highland Drive across from Marketplace Mall and next to Michael's. See us on the web at goodfeet.com or call today at 424-4030.
You have got to see this. Five dealers. One big event. It's the Dodge Customer Appreciation Tent Event from your Rochester Metro Dodge dealers. Uncover rebates up to $4,500. Or zoom in for 0% interest. The five Rochester Metro Dodge dealers have nearly 1,000 new Dodge cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs in stock. That means incredible selection and unbelievable value for you. You'll get the best values in America and Dodge's 770 powertrain warranty on every new Dodge. Visit any one of the five Rochester Dodge dealers, like Cortez Dodge in Henrietta, Dome Dodge in Greece, Irondequoit Dodge in Irondequoit, Marina Dodge in Webster, or Vision Dodge in Penfield. Visit any one of the five Rochester Dodge dealers. It's the Rochester Metro Dodge Dealers Customer Appreciation Tent Event. Hurry, special offer ends Sunday, August 3rd.
The Dodge dealers want you.
It all ends Monday at 9 p.m. in the famous Ruby Gordon Furniture Christmas in July sales event. Monday is your last chance to fill your home with wonderful furniture marked down to the lowest prices of the summer. And with every purchase of $9.99 or more, get a trip for two to Orlando or Las Vegas, including airfare and hotel, absolutely free.
Wow.
Buy now with approved credit and receive no payment, no interest until next July. But you only have until this Monday at 9 p.m. It's as simple as 1, 2, 3. 1, come into Ruby Gordon Furniture during their famous Christmas in July sales event and buy what you want at the lowest prices of the summer. 2, with every purchase of $9.99 or more, get a trip for two to Orlando or Las Vegas absolutely free, including airfare and hotel. And 3, in keeping with our long tradition of giving, we're donating a portion of every purchase to Camp Good Days and Special Times.
Whoa, I better hurry.
Sale ends Monday at 9 p.m. Ruby Gordon Furniture, 3737 West Henrietta Road, Ruby Gordon, Rochester's Furniture Store.
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer radio show, is brought to you by the Alleman K Learning Center, MicroWorks Direct Computers, Roadrunner Business Class, and Greenshield Computer Services. $50,000 watts. I wonder how many gigabytes that would translate to. Welcome back to Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Here's Nick Francesco.
Yes, here I am, Nick Francesco.
Dave Enright.
Steve Ray.
Tony Pasilla.
Rob Linton.
And this is Sound Bites. We're going to go back to the phones, but remember, we're still waiting for an answer to the trivia question. Why is the Xanadu Project important to the Internet? And we're going to talk to Dan from Parenton, New York. Welcome, Dan. What's your question?
Hi, guys. It's a great show today.
Thank you. As opposed to last week?
Well, I was on vacation last week.
All right.
I didn't hear you.
All right. You're off the hook.
Okay. Hey, I've got Windows XP running on a Sony Vaio notebook.
Right.
And I shut it down today after loading up a Linksys wireless software. And I get a message that says SDC scheduler window, not shutting down, and it's waiting for it to shut down. It gives me an opportunity to reply cancel and check the status, or to reply go ahead with the cancel of that task. And it happens all the time. The only changes that were made to the machine was there was a new hard drive put on. And I added this Linksys because it wasn't working after the hard drive. Any ideas?
Have you checked the scheduling program within XP?
How do you do that?
In the control panel,
mm-hmm.
there's the scheduling unit.
Mm-hmm. Task scheduler.
Task scheduler. And mm-hmm. you can check in there to see what tasks are being run.
Okay.
It may be the scheduler itself that isn't shutting yeah. down. But that's usually the MS task is the name of that process.
Yeah.
But is it SDC space scheduler in the error message?
No, it's all one word.
All one word.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Because, like I say, you might want to check in that scheduler inside the control panel task manager to see if there's something in there that's trying to run a particular thing, whether it's a scan disk or who knows what.
There's some management to run it shut down.
Yeah, and try disabling it.
Okay, and then, well, actually what I did is I forced it to shut down. Is there any danger in doing that?
No.
Okay, I'll try looking at the control panel for
there
the
you go.
Scheduler.
Give it a shot and let us know.
Okay, thank you.
Maybe
thank
do,
you.
A, do a search on the hard drive, and that might tell you where it is and what software it belongs to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, our next caller, Joyce, from Victor, New York. Welcome, Joyce. What's your question?
Good afternoon. We have lost the toolbar in our Microsoft Word program. We can't bring it down. We can't, you know, we click on it and try to pull it down. Nothing. We just opened it up one day and it was gone.
Full screen?
Yes.
It's like a full
screen. So the menus are gone and all the toolbars are gone?
Yes.
Or just the toolbars?
Just the toolbar. We can't, you know, bring down file or edit or any of that.
Well, that's the menu bar.
Yeah.
Okay, then I mean the menu bar.
All right.
I think that's an F12. Hold on a second. I'm just
opening
up Word now.
That's a feature.
Will be
that gets accidentally
out of here
on.
Next week.
Yeah. While Nick is searching for that, another quick fix is to go into your Microsoft Office directory and delete the normal.dot. And that's a Word's preference file to remember what menus you want shown, what toolbars you want shown, and things like that.
Uh-huh.
And you delete that, it makes a new one from scratch, and everything turns
back
on from the default setting when it was first installed.
Okay, because it's on Microsoft Office and
yeah,
Excel.
You just look for, do a search, go to Start, and say Find, and then the Sys file, and just put in normal.dot. It'll find the file and you can just select it and delete it. When you restart up Word, it'll automatically recreate that file.
Okay. So when you said I go to search, I ask it to find what was it I was going to find?
Normal.dot.
Which is a document template.
Right. The other thing you can do. Usually when it comes up and it's in full screen mode, the escape key will bring you back to regular mode.
Okay, we'll try that.
On the other hand, if it's simply the fact that you've made the window too big, if the window itself has suddenly gotten too big, you should be able to hold Alt space. Hold the Alt key down, hit the space key.
Okay.
You should see a little menu pop up, and you want to select size. If you can't even see the menu, hit S. And then your cursor turns into the little cross with the arrows on the end, which means we're moving things around. Mm-hmm. And then you can use the various arrow keys to narrow stuff down, up and down, left and right, that sort of thing, up and down to make it larger or smaller. You want smaller. And then left and right to make it narrower until maybe you can see more of it.
Okay.
I'm sorry, that's the best I got for you.
Well, it's a lot better than what we've had. So
give it a shot and let us know.
It. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I'm just closing down Word. Thank you. Our next caller, Ray from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Ray. What's your question?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm having trouble with Windows 2000 Professional. I'll give you sort of a brief rundown. It started off missing a page file, so it would always default to 25 megabytes of page file. And if I would try to reset it, when I rebooted again, it would say page file is missing. And I put up with that for quite a long time. And then I tried to go into the recovery console to try to fix things, and that messed it up even further. And now when I try to boot the system, it comes up and says NTLDR missing.
Oh, gosh.
And
that's the bootloader.
Pardon me?
That's the NT bootloader.
You know what, Ray?
Yes.
This sounds a whole lot like Ed's problem.
Like what?
Ed's problem. It sounds like the hard disk itself is in some way damaged. What sounds like was happening is that when that page file was missing, it wasn't really missing in the sense that it had gone away. as much as it was the hard disk holding it had gone away.
Mm-hmm.
The piece of the hard disk was gone away, and now more has gone away, and the NT bootloader itself is missing.
And I'm in recovery where you use the four diskettes. And
right.
Is there any chance of, it says, to repair a Windows 2000 installation disk, press R, or to get into Windows console, press C?
It can't hurt to try to repair it, but no promises. If that doesn't work, go into console, see if you can get to the drive and save your data off, then you're going to have to reformat.
What if I decided to set up Windows 2000 from scratch on this same drive in the same directory?
You would lose everything. You might lose everything. So go into console mode first and save all your stuff to floppy if you can find it.
Ray, one other thing you might want to try to do, and this might work, is when you boot with your NT CD,
mm-hmm.
you'll see, it first checks it, checks for all the equipment, and this says the tip I put up for the Windows XP, and it might work with, because it is NTFS.
Right.
When you get to the first screen, there's an option to do a repair. You
right.
don't select that. You say, go ahead and install. It starts copying files.
Mm-hmm.
After it does that and does a couple other screens, you will then see a screen where you have the option to do a repair.
Right.
At that point, select repair. And if it works the way I think it will install Windows 2000 over Windows 2000.
And not lose any of
and not lose
stuff.
Anything.
But I would still suggest first you
yes.
save all your
right
data out of console mode.
Yeah. First saved it there.
I want to make right. sure you heard that.
Yep.
We got to take a break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Tony Placilla, Rob Linton, and Mina Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Hey, you, listening to the radio. How you feeling these days? Okay? Not bad. Come on, is that where you want to be? When was the last time you did something you once looked forward to doing? You know, symptoms of depression could be holding you back. Perhaps you should ask your doctor about your treatment options. Like Effexor XR, Venlafaxine HCL. It works on both serotonin and norepinephrine, two chemicals in the brain linked to depression. Correcting the imbalance of these two chemicals may relieve symptoms of depression.
Effexor XR is not for everyone. People taking MAO inhibitors should not take Effexor XR. Side effects may include nausea, dizziness, sleepiness, nervousness, insomnia, anorexia, and constipation. Effexor XR may raise blood pressure, so it should be monitored. Talk to your doctor if you're pregnant or nursing and before discontinuing or reducing your dose. For more information, see our ad in Health, visit thechangeyoudeserve.com, or call 1-877-YOU-DESERVE. That's Y-O-U deserve.
Effexor XR, the change you deserve. Ask your doctor if it's right for you.
Some anniversaries you celebrate with silver, and this one you celebrate with leather. Announcing the Lincoln Mercury Anniversary Clearance Event, featuring end of the model year savings on every Lincoln and Mercury, including the roomy Mercury Grand Marquis and our entire family of SUVs, the versatile Mercury Mountaineer, agile new Lincoln Aviator, and redesigned Lincoln Navigator. And right now, you can get the Mercury Sable LS Touring Edition with $2,490 in no-charge options, including leather seating surfaces, a power moonroof, and anti-lock brakes, plus 0% APR financing for 60 months or up to $3,500 cash back. A month finance is $1,667 per month per 1,000 finance, regardless of down payment. Not all buyers will qualify for Ford Credit financing. Cashback includes $1,000 Ford Credit cash with approved Ford Credit contracts. Offer subject to change. See dealer for details. Take delivery from dealer stock by 9/2/2003. This is one anniversary you won't want to miss. See your Lincoln Mercury dealer today.
This is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. From PCs to Macs, these guys can help with any computer question you may have. So call the boys now at 222-1180, the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, once again, here's Nick Francesco.
I am Nick Francesco.
Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
Tony Placilla.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Remember, we're still waiting for a correct answer to the trivia question. Why is the Xanadu Project important to the internet? Our next caller is Lynn from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Lynn. What's your question?
I'm calling to see if I can answer the trivia.
Excellent. Go for it.
Project Xanadu was the inspiration for the World Wide Web.
And who wrote it?
It was...
Doesn't matter. You got it.
Yes.
You win, Lynn. Stay on the line, and Rob Linton will take... Excuse me. Rob Linton will take down your information...
Do you have a question for
that fabulous prize. Do you have a question for us?
No, I don't.
God bless you, Lynn. Let me tell you, the rest of you folks, what the Xanadu Project was. There was a guy named Ted Nelson who back in the 60s wrote a book and called Hypertext and created something called the Xanadu Project. That's pretty
very
much what
bad
he looks like. No, it isn't. That's actually a very good picture of Ted Nelson, unfortunately.
Let me tell you, he looks like 10 miles of bad road in winter.
Oh, man. He did a lot of...
He doesn't remember the 60s.
He did a lot of interesting chemicals in the 60s. He created the concept of hypertext, the information that information is a network of linked nodes in which a user is free to navigate in a non-linear manner. It is that linking system that, what's his name?
Tim Berners-Lee. From CERN.
From CERN, the Swedish... Particle Physics Laboratory, picked up as the model for the World Wide Web when he created that. So if it wasn't for Ted Nelson, I don't know what we'd be doing right now, but he created that whole concept of hyperlinking, jumping around in a non-linear manner.
Yeah, it reminds me of James, what's his name, the Connections.
Oh, yes. Burke. Yes.
James Burke. Who I saw at Sun Network last year, and he had he was a guest speaker at Sun Network, and he was the idea of he took hypertext one step further with the connections in a database to actual concepts rather than just text linking within text, and it's the whole principle. You have building blocks and moving on like that.
It's amazing stuff. Ted Nelson wrote a book called Hypertext, and of course it was a paper book, so we would have things like in the middle of it go to page 143, page text would be written sideways and upside down and in spirals. The point was he had no computer technology, but he was trying to free people from linear computer stuff. And Lynn is our winner.
He's currently a visiting professor of environmental information, that I can't say, at Keio University in Japan.
So very
he's
nice.
Lecturing in Japan, if you want to see him.
And probably in English, and nobody can tell anyway. I've heard him speak, and you're hard-pressed to tell what language he's actually speaking. Our next caller, David from Ontario. New York or Canada, David?
That would be New York, guys.
Ah.
This all can be. We have the county of Ontario, the town of Ontario, the province of Ontario, and the lake of Ontario.
Right,
and we should all go jump in them.
If you're calling from the lake,
you could be a boat on the lake on a cell phone.
Exactly right. What's your story here, David?
Guys, I'm running Windows 98 second edition AMD 1000 gigahertz processor, and I've got a couple of problems. One involves a McAfee virus scan.
Yeah.
Ever since I've had it, my machine tries to access my A drive, whether I want it to or not, and I can't get it to unaccess it. The only way I can avoid this is if immediately upon booting, if I do a virus scan check on any disk in the A drive, it will not do it. I've talked to McAfee about it, and they try to blame it on some other program I have in my machine, but the funny thing is, if I disable the McAfee, it never happens.
Dave, one thing you might want to check is since it's Windows 98 second edition, go into the control panel, and under system, and I believe it's under performance, there is a tab there for the floppy. And it's quite often there's a check mark in there, check floppy drive on startup.
Yep.
Uncheck that.
It's actually what it does is it tells Windows to see if there's a floppy drive in there, not access it.
To see if it needs to do a virus scan in case you're going to boot from it.
Or to see if it needs to index it for
fast plan. So uncheck that and see if that helps.
Okay, I'll try that. And one other thing, the other day, for a long time, when I run Microsoft Office, I think I was running 2000, every now and then, I'll click on a spreadsheet or I'll click on a Word document, and it'll come up and say, well, you have to install this from the disk. And I've already, of course, installed it. I've been using it forever. And then it comes up. It ends up giving me an error 1706. So I got tired of that, and I decided that I would put my Office XP back on, which I hated the first time I used it. and now everything works great, except for now my machine wants to shut itself off. If I leave it on and I walk away from it or go to sleep at night, I wake up in the morning, my machine is turned off. Now, I've checked in the control panel, and all the settings are always on or never shut it off. However, it did change those settings on me when I loaded it in for some reason. But I went back in and checked all that, changed it back to never shut down, never go to sleep, never do anything, and it's still shutting down on me. Any question or comment about that?
How about in the BIOS of the machine?
Done anything there, but then again, this just started when I started using the XP.
You might want to check the BIOS to make sure nothing's been turned on in the energy saving there.
Just by loading that program, that could have happened, huh?
Who knows? The 1706 error means the installation ended prematurely when you ran Office Setup. It thinks it didn't finish setting up correctly. How old is this machine?
I would say 2 years.
I would check that hard drive.
Motherboard.
It's also the possibility it was the Office originally installed either via network install or one of those full, you know, one-size-fits-all vendor CDs that loads everything on there. Because what has to happen with Office from the 2000 version on is the first time you access any feature in Office, and this could be something as simple as a different font
right.
in a document somebody sent you, it wants to reinstall that off of a CD. It tries to be small by installing
as little as possible.
As little as possible, but even if you say install everything, it lies.
Yeah.
Well, I did install everything, I'll use it, and I install everything except for the toolbar. I don't like the toolbar, so that's the only thing I don't let it install. And then it comes back out of the blue and just tells me, oh, you got to reinstall, and then it looks for a certain file, and I know where that file is. I point it to it, and it comes up with the error message. So now I get rid of the error message with XP, and...
Yeah, there may be, and that actually might be worth looking for, and I hate to point people to do this, but it might be worth looking for on the Office Updates section of Microsoft's site. Because it rings a bell to me. I don't use Office, but I've heard that before.
Yeah, there have been numerous updates, and the reality is that the original CD contains a very buggy version of Office. They have fixed the bugs, but you have to download the updates to get those fixes.
I did go through all their updates before I put XP on, and it didn't seem to make any
difference. Yeah, but that's now you need a whole new set of updates.
It's a different OS.
Oh, you mean for XP?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I haven't updated the XP one.
Yeah,
and some of the XP updates take off some of the old Office updates, so you really need to do those again, too. At least check to see if any need to be done.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Around and around
we have to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Tony Placilla, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the magnificent Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Every once in a great while in the history of horse racing comes a record so incredible that it beckons to be broken. Such a race is coming to Batavia Town Saturday, July 26th.
Think it's funny side?
Lost his last race.
Seabiscuit?
Dead over 50 years. I think the record's got to be Zippy Chippy's 97 consecutive losses.
He's going to race against Miss Batavia? A harness horse?
Yeah, want to bet who's going to win?
You gotta be at Batavia Downs Saturday, July 26th to see if Zippy Chippy breaks his 97 race losing streak. We'll bet you can pick this winner. Plus, the Batavia Downs track handicapper is right 50% of the time, but 100% of the time when it comes to Zippy Chippy. Free admission, free parking, great food, great fun. Races start at 7:30 Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday nights with the big Zippy Chippy race Saturday night, July 26th.
First 1,000 people through the door get a free Batavia Downs t-shirt.
If you can't get there for the fun, go to an OTV near you for the live action. We bet you're going to win at Batavia Downs.
Sound Bites, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
New Febreze Allergen Reducer reduces airborne cat, dog, and dust mite allergens that come from fabrics by up to 75%. And it freshens, too.
This portion of Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM is brought to you in part by Envision, delivering the bandwidth to make anything possible. To sign up for Envision Internet Service, call 262-2485.
Yeah.
Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve is here every Saturday from 12:20 till 2 to answer any and all computer and computer-related questions. Now, back to Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Tony Pulsillo.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Sound Bites. We've had an answer to our trivia question. That was Lynn, and she's got her answer.
Job.
She did a great job. But so we're just back to the phones. Just back to the phones. It's all we're doing now. Just.
There's no just about us.
That's exactly right. No just and no justice. Back to the phones, which is an important part of this show. And we're talking to Ed from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Ed. What's your question?
Yo, guys. You guys just don't realize the real power you have.
Do we?
No, you don't. Just the very threat of calling you fixed my computer.
That's it. It's what we call, you've heard of GPF?
Yeah.
The guru proximity factor.
It's the guru proximity factor. All you need to do is get a guru close to your machine or threaten to do so, and the problem goes away.
It's kind of like the car. It makes, you know, the horrible noise like the engine's going to fall out through the transmission until you arrive at the dealership.
The but, of course, as soon as you hang up the phone, the problem will come back.
That's right. What is the problem anyway, Ed?
Well, it was. The problem was. But seeing how you guys have the force be with you.
Yeah.
All right? All it was a simple... Somehow, my laptop turned off, and I pushed the button too fast, and it wouldn't come back on. So I had to hold it down for like a minute.
Sure, mm-hmm. We gave that tip. I gave that tip at the beginning of the show.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
your laptop was listening.
I missed it.
Yeah, even though you weren't listening, your laptop and your index finger were.
That's right. Subliminal. You know, it's a good thing. You get to teach people to think. And, you know, apply what we try to talk about. Each individual problem is, you know, unique.
Right.
But if you the whole concept of thinking what it could possibly be, then you win.
There's one other thing. It's called instruction.
Oh, yeah, that.
You know, when in doubt, read the instructions.
Yeah, that's what separates the geeks from the rest of the world. We try not to tell anybody.
No, the geeks are the ones that when the installer says typical or custom, what is this typical thing you speak?
Yeah, we don't even know what happens when you do that. We all go custom. But the reality is, what makes us gurus is we read the manuals
or we write them.
Or we write them. Yes, exactly.
Of course, we also have to warn people
reading it is one thing, but understanding it is something else.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that.
If you aren't having any problems, don't try the fixes we suggest.
Yeah, that's a big one. Just because we suggest a fix doesn't mean you have to try it if you're not having
problems.
Oh,
wait a minute.
All right, you fix computers for a living.
Yeah, hello,
you want everybody.
They can
yeah,
fly
yeah.
Them. And then Steve and I can fix them if they don't.
Right.
Actually, no. The whole concept of not using APM or ACPI on a desktop machine is not. You know, if you turn all that stuff off.
See, I just realized we run the full gamut here. In the middle, we have two guys who build and repair systems for a living. They want everybody to try everything that they've ever done. On the other end, we have two guys who do systems administration for a living. We don't want you people to go near those machines. Don't touch them. Don't talk to them. Walk past them on your way to a bookshelf.
I have a sign over my office door. It says, I'm root, you're not. Go away.
Cool.
Okay, Adam, glad that fixed itself. Remember, if you get a little quick with that button, hold it down for a minute.
Yeah, we learned from our lessons, I think.
That's exactly how it works. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
We're going to stay in Fairport, but now we're going to talk to George. George, did you hold the button down for a minute?
Sure.
George? Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good.
Okay now?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm looking for a local service to get me to the Internet, please.
There are several dozen of them.
Do you
want
to do dial-up?
Are
you looking to do dial-up first or quick Internet?
No, dial it, please. I'm an old senior citizen. I don't go fast.
Mm-hmm. Right
sorry
now. But
and
wait.
I have to speak slowly so I can get you. Okay, please.
If you look in the telephone book in the yellow pages under Internet, you'll find several dozen companies. We probably have to mention Envision that powers our show here.
Yeah.
Right.
NetAccess. A lot of people like getting Frontier Internet because it comes on their phone
bill. No, I'm not interested. They told me there are some I'm a cheap guy. $10.
There are some cheap services. LocalNet is $10 a month.
Blue Frog.
Yeah. They're like $30 or $40 a year, so that works out.
They're like $4 a month.
$4 a month.
Yeah. Do you have a telephone number for them, please?
Hold on a second. I'm looking it up.
Please, I appreciate that.
There's also Juno. They have like a $5 or $10 a month plan.
Yes.
Most of the really cheap plans are limited in some way. You get like 20 hours a month or something like that. So
for the $5 business. Yeah.
Right, and that's enough for casual email.
Yes.
Let's see, Blue Frog's phone number.
Is Blue Frog's phone number. Oh, go ahead.
756.
Seven. Which one?
756.
756.
4593.
4593.
And they're $5 a month.
I happen to know one of the sysadmins down there.
Yeah.
They're you know they care. They try. They really do.
Net Access is $10 a month.
Which one of these? NineTex.
Net Access.
Net Access. And the telephone number?
419.
419.
8200.
8200.
And that would be unlimited.
Yeah.
Unlimited.
They're probably your best two bets.
$5 is 20.
No, the Blue Frog for $5 a month is also unlimited.
The 756 4593.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you very much, Doc.
You're absolutely welcome. It is
have
our
a good
pleasure.
Day.
Have a great day. Our next caller, Steve from Albion, New York. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Yes, I have Windows 98 version 2, and I'm having a problem with if I run my computer, after about 2 or 3 hours, the computer just starts, like the mouse starts lagging and everything else starts lagging. And
how much memory do you have?
384.
On Windows 98?
Might be too much.
That's
too much.
256 barrier.
256 barrier.
Yeah, Windows 98 doesn't do well with more than 256 RAM. It actually gets worse and slows down.
Chokes it.
Yeah. What you're actually seeing is what is known as a memory leak.
Okay.
Are you running any programs in the background or sitting around like an antivirus software or
TSRs,
Kazaa, or any of those wonderful things?
Well,
Instant
I have
Messenger.
Like
Instant Messenger.
Oh, no Instant Messenger.
Real
but
player.
I've gone through like. The MF config, and I've turned off just about everything in the startup menu,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that those things wouldn't run.
Mm-hmm.
And what I kind of noticed, and I don't know if it has anything to do with it, but as soon as, like, the clock down in the lower right-hand corner, if it starts losing time, that means I got to shut my computer down. Then when I restart it, everything runs fine again.
Have you run AdAware?
AdAware, yes. Okay. Yes, I've run that.
There's something running in the background.
Yeah.
There's something running in this.
Eating up the resources.
How fast is your machine?
I think it's an Amplion 650.
You would probably be happy moving up to XP.
Yep, XP home.
Okay.
What'll happen is it'll use all the memory.
Cleanly.
It'll be faster. Your actual experience in clicking from place to place will be faster, and and it may solve this problem as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now I have like XP on one of my other computers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And somebody told me that I had read someplace like on I think it was on the Microsoft thing that you can use that program again. All you got to do is get an authorization to run it on a second computer.
Yes, no. What'll happen, however, is it'll shut down the first computer.
No. Well, what he's saying is it will. If you try to install it with the same serial number, it will say,
this is
the duplicate serial number. Do you want to buy another copy?
Right.
And they charge you the full retail price of a second copy.
You might
copy.
As well just go out and buy another
copy. Well, yeah,
copy.
It saves you the trip to the store.
Okay.
Yeah. Basically, is all it does.
But you don't have the right. Some software, Borland was really good with that. The developer environment, they said, yeah, you can have, here's a CD. You can run a copy of this at home and a copy of this at work.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they both weren't running at the same time.
At the same time.
And in fact, if
XP
you wanted to
like
uninstall
that.
It from your system, you could loan it to someone else.
Exactly right.
Yep. They said it's like a book.
They had a the Borland book license.
Yep.
But XP is not like that.
No. You will need to buy another copy, whether you buy a license online or go out and buy a full version.
I have a full version.
And it never hurts to get the full version in your hand. That way, if one CD dies, you've got the other CD.
Right. Now, the other question, though, that I have is that somebody also told me that I don't want to just go out and buy Windows XP and install it on my computer because it'll wipe out everything else on my hard drive and everything.
No.
If you tell it to, it will erase your hard drive.
Well, you should always back up your data before you do anything to the operating system.
Right.
That's just common sense. Yeah.
Okay.
But it will that's just uncommon sense.
Yeah, it will install over safely. Just read the screens as you go along. So many folks just have the habit of saying, okay.
Right.
And just enter.
There is a
Would
point
you like
where
me
we'll...
to trash your hard drive completely and send all your data to the Bitbucket? Okay.
Yeah.
Right. There will be a point at which it says, you know, hit enter to wipe out your data, or you got to click another button before, you know, to say upgrade. So you want to read every screen carefully before you hit the enter key.
Okay, because somebody told me also that what I want to do is I don't want to buy just the Windows XP. I want to buy a Windows XP upgrade, so it'll just upgrade my 98.
Well, the upgrade disk is cheaper. However, it requires the previous OS already be there. So you cannot do a clean install if you want to erase your hard drive and install from scratch.
Or if your hard drive gets damaged and you want to install
it. You have to tell it to show it your original Windows 98 CD. Yep. And if your 98 is an upgrade from 95, you have to give
you have to go that way, too. So at some point, it doesn't hurt to buy a brand new version.
A full install CD.
Just buy the full install
CD.
Yeah,
just do it.
And then just install that, and I won't lose any of my data as long as
if you're very careful.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm very careful. How careful do I have to be?
Well, read every screen before you hit enter during the install.
Read the screens and you'll have no problem.
Yeah, the screen that says you want to erase your hard drive, say no.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the key one.
It's not that hard, really.
That's pretty much it, then.
Yeah,
I don't need a professional to do it, then.
No. You will be a professional if you do this right.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Our next caller, Dave, on a cell phone. Dave, tell me you're pulled over to the side of the road.
I'm home now.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, I have one quick question.
Yeah.
I have an XP system, the home edition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in my previous Windows 95, I could do scan disk and defrag.
Right.
But on the XP, I go into programs and then accessories and system tools, and I don't see any scan disk. I see
you
the
don't
defrag.
Need it.
You don't need it.
If you've got XP Home running NTFS, scan disk is
deprecated.
Not really needed at all.
And it's hiding there in a DOS command. It will not run from within inside Windows. You have to run it at a DOS prompt or a C prompt.
It's basically a silly waste of your computer's time if you've got NTFS running on the system.
Now, I do notice when I go to computer and then go to the C drive and go to the properties and go to There's a Windows tab there where it says System Tools,
mm-hmm.
and it says Check the System. It says it will only do it when you reboot.
Right. Actually tells ScanDisk to run at the command prompt before Windows starts.
Because once Windows starts, it can't move it can't do anything to some of the files.
Okay, so that's the way to run it if you want to run it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if you're running the NTFS version, the need is really not there.
Right. We've only got about a minute, so if you've got a second question, get it in quick.
So the only other comment I had, I heard you telling some guy about internet providers, and I use USA DataNet, $9.95 a month, and that's unlimited.
They also have a very cool telephone rate, 99-cent flat rate for any call, any duration. So if you make a lot of long-distance calls, it's really great. Although if you call and they're not home, it's 99 cents.
Right. Well, we're done for another week. I apologize to everybody to whom we did not get. I want to thank everybody who called in, particularly Lynn for getting the trivia question correctly. I want to say how honored we are that Mr. Tony Placilla was able to join us this week.
Thank you, Captain.
It's always a thrill and a pleasure to have someone as brilliant as he is on this show. We will be back here next Saturday at 12:20 p.m., same bat time, same bat channel. I want to thank Dave Enright and Steve Ray for being as capable and as magnificent as they are every single week. Always and always, Rob Linton for keeping us on track. It's a tough, stinking job, but better him than me. Me, I'm Nick Francesco. We are Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. See you next week. Thanks.
Hi, this is Peter, and here is a great quote. Persons of high self-esteem are not driven to make themselves superior to others. They do not seek to prove their value by measuring themselves against others. Their joy is being the absolute best they can be, not being better than someone else.
Inspiring all of us to be the best people we can be. Peter Parts Electronics, a worldwide firm headquartered in Ontario, New York.
You love your car. You wash and wax your car. You talk to your car until it has trouble starting. Then you yell at your car, you curse your car, you kick your car in the tires. What you need is Die Hard Express, only at Sears Auto Center. Die Hard Express is more than a battery service. We give your car's electrical system a complete checkup. We look for common problems, and if you need a new battery, we install it Die Hard, America's most preferred battery.
Die Hard Express, Sears, good life, great price. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
The radio home of the 2003 PGA Championship. News Radio 1180, WHAM, Rochester.
CBS News. I'm Lou Mulliano. Texan Lance Armstrong owns the show in France for its Vive la Lance.